Pastor Kenneth Johnson.
Exodus 17, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And when you get there, I want you to symbolize it by saying amen. Glory to God. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I want to release this this word in preparation, you know, in our thankful crusade. We just came out of that. It was a great time in the Lord. Give God praise for that. Great, great time in the Lord. Our thankful crusade was just powerful, and we give God praise for that. And now we're going into this this festive season of the Yuletide season. Amen. And it's one of my favorite seasons. You know, I might not like the weather all the time, the cold or the snow, but the celebratory time of the year is one of my favorite in the calendar. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. And I know you are, too, for the great things that God is doing. Amen. And in our text in Exodus chapter 17, I want to read from verse 8 through verse 12. It says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." And verse 12 says, "But when Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." And verse 13 says, "So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." I never saw this before, and I'm stuck right here. I never saw this, that Joshua got the credit for defeating Amalek. Not Moses. Not her. But Joshua, who was the captain and the one that was being trained, the one that was given a new level of anointing, amen, the one chosen by God, was the one that got the credit here for defeating the Amalekites. Amen. And what I want to talk about today, just for a few moments, I want to talk about the fact that we are the solution. Touch your heart. Put your hand on your heart and say, "I am the solution." Say it one more time. "I am the solution." Now make it corporate. We are the solution. Amen. I wanted to read that scripture in Exodus, and I wanted us to get in a frame of mind to understand something, that faith without works is truly dead. And there are some things that's just got to be done in life and in ministry. You're not poor. Jesus died on the cross, according to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He put on the appearance of a bond servant and was made poor. He became poor so that what? So that through his poverty, we would become rich. And so I want us to see this going into this holiday season, going into this new year of limitlessness. I want us to really see this, that if money is controlling you, then you're not exercising the kingdom of God in which you're a part of. You're going to have to disregard, you're going to have to start just kind of disregarding money. In the aspect of it being something that you just hold on to, that you just gotta always calculate how much you watch this, because a lot of times I hear you, Holy Ghost. A lot of times you're not calculating how much you have or the management of how much you have. Really, you're going down to the bottom line and noticing how much you don't have. Really adding and looking at your checking account, balancing your checkbook. You got to get to a place where I ain't doing that. Look, watch this. I'm not doing that to see how much I got left over. I'm doing it to see how much I can sow. Amen. Because when you start doing it to the place where you're doing it to see how much you can sow, how much you can give, how much you can, watch this, how much you can use for God's purposes, for causing God to be elevated, to be causing God to be glorified, to be causing God to be looked at and make people say, even if they don't want to see it, even if they don't want to say it, look at God. See, that's what I look at when I sow into Bishop or Apostle Thompson. They get up in the black men flying in them aircrafts and black men driving Bentleys and Maybachs and stuff. When I sow into them, I be like, you know, somebody gonna see them. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Come on, Joshua. Come on, Moses. Ain't had nothing to do with Moses and her. It had to do with what God was doing in Joshua. Joshua got the credit, but Moses and her were used to get God glory. Was Moses blessed? Was her blessed? Chaldeans had a whole nation named after him. Hallelujah. And so you got to get to a place. You got to get to a place where you say, you know what, God, I'm gonna make up. That's I got so much running in me. See, we're supposed to have a little food in the office for the ministers and stuff to, you know, just kind of refresh themselves. And I called hospitality this morning and I said, X that. I don't want the food in my office. Put the food in the two Joshua rooms and let it be a layout for the Blackstone Community Chorus. They ain't never went to no church to sing and had nothing laid out for them like that. Welcoming them and showing them how happy we are that they're here. See, these things make them, what do you think them people gonna come in there and do when they see this? Is this for us? Wow, glory to God. They're gonna give God glory, see. But what did they do? That was taken from me. That was taken from my special guest. And given to some, see, you don't look at it all the time. Sometimes what you got is not for you. If this CD rolling. Sometimes what you got is not for you. It's not for you. I'm telling you right now, it's not for you. And you got to get to understand that you got to get to a place where material things mean nothing to you. Because, see, when material things don't mean nothing to you, that's when you're going to dress the best. That's when you're going to smell the best. That's when you're going to eat the best. When it don't mean nothing to you. When you don't put that first. But you put God first in your giving. So two questions I want to want us to ponder going into this consecration elevation service and into the Yuletide, the Christmas season. Are you going to do something that brings about change? Will you be a part? Listen, Shay, I know you're with child now. You can't run quite as fast as you used to or maybe that you want to. But will you be a part of the change? I know you got a baby now. I know you got a young family going on now. You're a single mother. I know you got two boys that's growing up fast and they need things. But will you be a part of the change? These are two questions that we got to ask. Amen. Because watch this. This was not Joshua's war. This was not Joshua's war. This was the war of the iniquities of the fathers of Israel, Moses' people, Moses' age people. This was not Joshua's war. You know, iniquities means gross injustice or wickedness or sinfulness, unfairness. All these things they were doing. Now Joshua and his generation got to deal with this stuff. And now here we are in this generation. The first point I want you to get, we in the middle of a mess. This country, watch this, y'all just pray for me. But we in the middle of a mess. But guess what? Our children and our children's children didn't make it. We have an enemy. We have a problem. And we have a challenge. There is a challenge, y'all. And don't make no mistake about it. We do have an enemy. The people of God, we have an enemy. And there's a problem, and we're going to deal with them. Because, see, we're in the middle of this mess, but we got to understand what has happened is the fathers and forefathers of this nation, we've allowed Baal to come in. We've allowed the spirit of Baal. And I ain't talking about just how people act and how people talk and the crazy stuff people are doing. I'm talking about literally on September 19th, 2016, in New York City was erected the Temple of Baal. Temple of Baal represents evil. It represents sacrifice of children. The Valley of Molech is where the ark of the entrance to the Temple of Baal was. And when you went through that, it was nothing for you to see heaps of dead children that had been sacrificed to the devil. It's a god of violence. And Israel, in their history, they turned over and over and married pagan wives and let this stuff come in. Look it up. Google it. You don't believe me? I don't know. I tell you, I preach what I preach. You Google it and check it out. On September the 19th, they erected a resemblance model of the Ark of the Temple of Baal right in New York City. But on September the 19th, 2016, that was when the two bombings, one in New York, one in New Jersey. September 19th was the shooting, the killing of the young man by the police officer in Charlotte, North Carolina. The shooting and the massacre of the seven people in the mall in Minnesota and the mall in Seattle. We're in the middle of a mess. All on the day that we erected that altar. So God is being attacked like never before. Point number two. That's a problem. Amen. God's being attacked like never before. And there's got to be a reckoning between the fathers and the sons. Amen. Why are you preaching like this today? Well, because I love you. And I want you to know the truth. And my prayer is that you can receive it. Hallelujah. See, Apostle Hall, people don't really realize it, but trauma messes up your brain. That's why even now in the football, NFL, National Football League, man, these guys having what they call it, a concussion protocol. Yeah, when they get hit too hard up in the head, they take them out and they send them all through kind of stuff, and they can't play for how many games? One? Not until they clear. See, because they realizing that this trauma can change the molecular structure of your brain, make you don't think right no more. But the same thing happens, Jay, with sin. See, when a person is an alcoholic or drugs or been raped or been molested and stuff like this, male or female, it doesn't matter. But there's something, a trauma goes on in the brain. And it turns off, watch this, it can turn off the light of Christ Jesus in the lives of people. I was pondering this and praying, and I said, God, well, why is that? He said, because a lot of times when the devil does stuff to people and causes stuff to happen in people's lives, the first person they blame is God. You got so many people. No. I had to minister to a man like that one time. I was passing out some literature about the church. He said, hey, you can keep it. I don't believe in God. I said, what do you mean? He said, what kind of God would allow my 6-year-old daughter to drown in our backyard pool? Trauma. See? So because of that, now he don't want to have nothing to do with God. Hallelujah. But seemed to be a nice guy. But his light had been turned off, snuffed out, if you will. But third and lastly, love will turn that light back on. You want to do it? The love of God in Christ Jesus will turn that light back on. And I saw it. I saw it in the scripture when I was flipping through and looking at some accounts over in John 4. I ain't come to preach about it. But that Samaritan woman at that well, her light was turned out. She had been through so much in her life. She had had 5 husbands, and the one she was living with now on her own. All she knew was cook, go to the well and get water, come back home, amen, sit there and look at the number 6. And here she met Jesus at the well.
And a light came on. Jesus won't even talk to her. Jesus won't even supposed to talk to her. She was a Gentile woman. Jesus' disciples said, "What you doing? What you doing talking to her?" It was the town hall. I mean, that's the town prostitute. What you doing talking to her, Jesus? But Jesus was sitting there and telling her, "I got what you always wanted." He was saying, listen, I know you thirsty, but this water I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again. When you drink from this well, you will never thirst again. People are hungry, y'all. Children are hungry. She was at that well, a social pastor, she was at that well searching. Once Jesus started talking to her, she started searching. She started talking and telling him about what she knew about God and about this well. And this well was dug by my fathers. And I know we're supposed to come here. Jesus said, "No. Time coming where you ain't going to worship here or in Jerusalem. But you have to worship me in spirit and in truth." And so she was searching for so much. And that's how it is today. We got so many people. Can y'all handle about 5 more minutes? This is where, we're dealing with a lot of stuff. God is being attacked like never before. We're in the middle of a mess, but there is a challenge and there is a way that God is going to do this. But we got to understand the truth about these things, Kydra. Young women, you are needed in ministry. 2 are getting hands laid on them today into eldership. And you will preach and you will tell the story. You will tell the good news of what God is doing. Why? Why do I have to do it, Pastor? Why do I have to bear this burden called ministry? Because 43% of prostitutes come from homes without fathers. See, it don't have to so much be the biological father, but that's what the statistic is talking about. But what about that they don't have no father figure in their lives spiritually? You got a father. You got a father. You have a father in ministry. 43%. That's a stack. That's almost half prostitutes that they took the survey. Their father was not in the home when they grew up as little girls. See, a father provides identity. Tells you who you are. When you ain't nowhere around your daddy, how about Shanididididibokosau? You ain't nowhere around your daddy, amen. Your daddy's spirit come upon you. You be like, "That ain't God." See? 85% of people incarcerated, no father. 71% of teen pregnancy, no father. 62% of teens that commit suicide, no father. This generation is in a war and is losing because Moses has let his hands down. But I want our ministry to be mercy's door. I want our ministry to be a door of mercy. We are the solution. That's what I come by. That's my assignment, to get that in your suko, in your psyche, that we are the solution. Pastor can't do it alone. I can't do it alone, y'all. The world is loud and the church too quiet. It can't just be my big mouth and Apostle Hall big mouth. Amen. You got to open your mouth when you know stuff is wrong and not of God. Don't just sit there and act all humble and cute. No, say something. Amen. And say it with love. So let me tell you what has to happen. We got to have relationship before you try to correct people. See, that's been the church problem to me. We've been trying to beat people with the Bible, but we don't have no relationship with them. No, people need to know that, look, you're fine in the eyes of God right where you are. Like the man we were talking to at the golf course, he was cussing up a storm. He was telling all kinds of stuff, but he was sure having a good time with us, wasn't he? Because we weren't beating him down. We weren't telling him, we're apostles. No, we calling him in the ministry. He said, "I'm going to come visit your church." I said, "You come on here." Amen. Oh, he was just preaching. He was preaching all kinds of stuff. I was saying, "Preach then." He was talking crazy stuff, but it was a message in what he was saying. So you got to get people to understand you are all right where you're in the eyes of God. He loves you right there. When I sit down with a person, I don't sit down trying to judge them. I sit down to try to help them. Jesus got in trouble with that stuff, Deacon Rodney, man. They say, what you doing over there with them? You were there eating with sinners. Look at him over there with wine bibblers. And Jesus sitting there laughing and joking with them. He getting ready to change their lives forever. Not my job to change anybody. Say it, say it. Say it's not my job to change anybody. No, it's not. I don't carry that weight. Amen. You come here, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you lay medicine or cigarettes or something up on the altar. That day right then, you deliver. Now, when you leave out here, know that I'm praying for you, but it's not my job to change you. Don't come thinking you're going to get something from me and you haven't let God change you. Secondly, you got to understand that your reward is not on this level. When you're serving God, ministers and elders, when you're serving God, you got to understand that your reward is not on this level. It's not, you know, if you're looking for people to pat you on the back all the time, then you're in the wrong business. When you help children and you give children things and you minister to them, you might pay somebody's bills and stuff like that. Don't even really expect folk to say thank you. You know they should, but don't you let that be a prerequisite of you serving God. Mm-hmm. If you don't watch it, that'll make you salty. When you do stuff for people and they don't give thanks and they don't, you know, they don't give you accolades. Some of these young kids you minister to, you can minister to speak that word in their life, that seed go in their heart, change their life forever. They'll never come back and say, you know what, thank you. You know, what you told me, remember, I got Bible for it. Remember the 10 lepers? All of them, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Amen. They went and started being healed. And only one out of 10 came back and said, Father, thank you so much. Other 9 gone about their clean business. Never even came back. Amen. Glory to God. So your reward is not on this level. Amen. You got to know your identity because they're not going to affirm you. They're not going to witness of your goodness. But let me tell you something. Look up here in my eyeballs. There's nothing more precious for a teacher or a leader than to see the student doing what they've been taught. Nothing. You ain't got to say nothing to me. Not a word of thanksgiving or nothing. Just when I see you walking, my job has been done. Let me hasten. You got to learn to create a place of vulnerability. Our ministry has to become, and especially this ministry, this campus, we got to become a place of vulnerability. When people tell of their struggles, they need to feel like they're safe. Amen. You can't be, watch this, you can't be a gossiper. When people going through stuff, you can't go and talk about what people going through and what you help somebody, you're helping somebody go through. Now, maybe I ain't making no sense. Got to be vulnerable, man. Got to be a vulnerability has to be in this house. And I think number 4 and lastly, you can't give up on people, even if they give up on themselves. I know some people I'm still loving and praying for, and it just seems like they done gave up on themselves. They don't come from no kind of counseling. I see them going through. You know what I'm saying? Every time I see them, amen, they just looking a little bit worse. Hallelujah. But don't give up on them. You can't give up on people. Hallelujah. Watch this. I'm going to say something. I think that makes people despise you. When they know they treat you bad and act ugly towards you, but you still love them. What's that scripture says? Like heaping hot coals on their head when you love them anyway. Never give up on them. Never give up on them. Hey, don't go where they at. Don't you dare go where they are. But don't give up on them. Amen. And so right here in this Richmond city, listen to this, staggering, 60%, I'm talking about period, in Richmond, white, black, Hispanic, 60% of children are without fathers here in Richmond. Isn't that something? 74% of black children in this nation are fatherless. Did y'all hear those numbers? But watch this. This is going to knock you out of the box. That's the national percentage. In the black African-American community in this country, 84% is 12% higher than the national average. That's almost unbelievable. 94% of African-American children don't have fathers. But then, see, my mind is always going. Every time I'm looking at something, I'm, you know, it's like, because even you hear football players in the NFL, so many of them, they talk to you. Daddy won't in the house. I spend all my time on the basketball court. I spend all my time there. The boy, J.T. Wyatt, that played for somebody else, and Antonio Brown, J.T. Wyatt's daddy nurtured both of them boys on the same Sandlock team because Antonio Brown didn't have no father. It's out there, y'all. The cases are out there. You'd be surprised. But we are the solution. And so I close with this today to let you know that there is a power that's greater than sickness. There's a power greater than no job. There's a power greater than divorce. There's a power that's greater than all of those things. But you got to understand that you're the solution. You're the solution to that problem. You're the solution to whatever has to go on, to whatever has to be dealt with. You're the solution. Amen. Hallelujah. You're the solution. God loves you. I hear the Lord saying, tell him, I don't have nobody else to use. I want to use you. Stop being hung up on your mistakes and your failures. Stop being hung up on what people said and have said about you. That you're not worthy, that you're not good enough, that you can't. From this day forward, I prophesy we take can't out of our vocabulary. This is a ministry that was birthed on no I can't-ness. I know there ain't no word. I make up my own words sometimes. We ain't never ran into no obstacle that we allow ourselves as a ministry to not accomplish. And we're not going to start now. I don't care if we are in a mess. Amen. That mess don't have nothing to do with you. I told y'all before the election, I don't care who wins. It's not going to matter to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, here we are today. I'm so happy for today and what's going on today. And God said, get to the altar right now. He said, get to the altar. He said, because there are some that don't think they're leaders, but they are. He said, get them to the altar. So y'all come on. So glad you made it back safely. God bless you. Amen. Bless us. Ooh, Jesus. I'm telling you right now. Look at me. Everybody look at me. I'm telling you right now. I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to look up here so nobody think I'm talking directly to him. I'm telling you right now, you better get your attitude together, because some of your attitudes is not conducive to stand before me for the instructions that I have for you. Your attitude is going to determine your altitude. If you don't stop playing with it, if you don't stop trying to straddle the fence with one foot in and one foot out of the anointing of God in your life, he's going to take it from you. He's going to release you from it. Don't tell me he won't, because he didn't speak to Israel for 400 years. One of the darkest times in history of the Bible. didn't speak again until a people rose up that were excited about him and wanted to praise him, wanted to give him the glory. Amen. It ain't that you know, it ain't, look here, it's not that you know no quiet person. You got one of the biggest mouths in the city and in the county. But it's just when it comes to things about God, you shut down. You don't have nothing to say. And that's because of attitude. Amen. Things are going on in your life that you're not dealing with, that you're not saying nothing about. You're just kind of letting this kind of crazy stuff keep going on. So when it's time to stand for God, the enemy looks and says, sit your butt down. Sit down. Don't you say nothing. You don't have a right. See, that's why that seal, get that seal right there. There it is. See, that's why you got to face that kind of stuff. You got to face that kind of stuff. Slay it and move on. Don't be fearful and held back by mistakes or failures that have come in your life. Today is a brand new day. What you're going to hear at 11:45 and 4 p.m. today, hallelujah. And I pray that you carry this fact that we are the solution. I pray that you carry it for the rest of the days of your life, that you walk knowing that you're the answer. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm the answer. I am the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Shh. See, now that means that not only is it just you by yourself, but you could be part of the answer. Ask them nine folk that we blessed with the Thanksgiving meal. Huh? And I just want y'all to know that I learned something. Because you remember a couple of years ago when we did it, and it was like 20-some of us, and we went up in the store, everybody met, and we went in the store, and we tried to do it, and the cameras and stuff, and the manager of the store ran us out of there. You know why? Because we were too obvious. It was all of us, like all of y'all right there standing when I go up to the person. See, that's intimidating. So that's why God said, no, don't do it. Just take about you and associate pastor and the cameraman. Amen. And one lady, Miss Lane, she went with us, amen, to the Amelia campus. But then it was just me and Ty and the associate pastor. And that's how God got glory like never before. Amen. And guess what? Guess what? You got glory in heaven. Because when you give to the ministry, that enables us to go out and be a blessing. Ain't that something? You were somewhere eating some doggone ice cream and getting blessed. You were somewhere shopping at the grocery store, getting your Thanksgiving meal, and you was getting blessed. Don't take it lightly. Amen. We did the calculations. What was it? $60,000 that this campus has paid this year in mortgages. And the two mortgages and the lease, $59,800, right at $60,000. Y'all think y'all a little cheap ministry? The only way you're going to be cheap is that you stop doing your part. We can't do nothing if everybody don't do their part. Amen. It can't be like the military. You know, in the military, it says all gave some, but some gave all. So we got to be the people that all give some. That's all we have to do. All. Everybody be faithful in giving some. But it seems like it's only a few that give all, like the apostles, assistant pastors, elders. What do you mean? Relate that to the army. Well, some of them men don't come back. They die on the battlefield. They gave all. Some don't come back. Oh, they come back maimed. They come back dismembered. They gave all. All I want is you to give all. Give some. Don't be. We're the solution, is what God said. All these statistics, I did that for a reason today. All these statistics to bring credence to what I'm preaching about today. There is a world out there that's waiting to hear you, to feel you, your heart of compassion. Let's do it. Let's don't have to shut down. Let's not have to close. Let's not have to quit. Let's not have to start over. Let's keep rolling. Somebody says keep rolling. Keep rolling. See? See, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. See. Come on. Get your hands going. Out. 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 But see, watch this. Watch this. Because now it's going to come a time when what? It come back to you. Cast your bread upon the water. Hell, it shall return not many days hence. See? See, don't just be the, listen, auntie, don't be a person that just wanted to do this. Just wanted to come. So many Christians just concerned about this. When it's time for this, they can't get with it. It's too much. Hallelujah. But lift your hands. Prepare yourself for a tremendously blessed day. In Jesus' name. Everybody's saved. Everybody's born again. Everybody's filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So now there's nothing left but the rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. You haven't sown if you haven't did it with tears. Come on now. Sow in tears. Surely you shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless God and thank Him. Clap your hands. Amen. Come on, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Come on, return to your seats. Get the best seed in your hand, your tithes, your offering. Y'all know your tithes go on the altars. Tithes and offerings. Amen. We're going to lift our offering on today. Amen. I need an envelope. Everybody, let's give. Let's start our giving days off. Amen. If I was you, come on, look at me. If I was you, I would have came to church today and I would have went to the ATM and at least got $60. I would have gave $20 in three services. I gave $20 in three services. Amen. That's just saying.